white chicken strips. This is February 22nd. It's Saturday because I was gonna do this earlier, but then I got distracted and it was a short week and time is not real. And so here we are, last minute doing this. This is also the second time doing this entire thing because I forgot to check the rubric type idea before I recorded the first one. So I basically just told you what happened in every chapter that I've read so far, which is only four. And I have so many questions about it, and I was so confused throughout all of it. But I didn't do what I was supposed to do, basically. Anyway, the first thing that I'm supposed to do right now is introduce the main characters and the background and the family, etc., etc. Well, I myself just got introduced to the family very briefly, and here, let's start with the main character. That might make more sense. Our main character is Chris McCandless, or Candleless, something like that. It's weird, and I say it different every time I read it, and so that's his name. He changed it to Alex after graduating from college, or Alexander, because he wanted to be independent from his family and didn't want to, like, have anything to do with his family, basically. Not that they've done anything wrong, so far as I know, which is my main thought throughout all of it, is, like, what did his family do? And as far as I can tell, his parents were busy business parents, and they didn't really, like, nurture their kids, or like, baby their kids. They were like, here's this, and I can buy your respect, which is basically, I think that is something that he says in one of these three chapters when he's talking about what it is that he's doing in college, and why he's going on this thing, and why he doesn't do certain things. And that was one of the things, is like, I don't give gifts because I think that if I accept my parents' gifts, then they will think they have bought my respect, and that is not true. They need to earn my respect. There's that. Anyway, that little tangent is gone now. So I just got introduced to his family. He has a mom, a dad, one real sister, or like whole sister, and then six half siblings. All his dad's kids from a previous marriage. I don't think his mom had any kids, or she might have been married before, but I don't think she had any kids. The background jumps around because the timeline jumps around in this book, which I don't think I've said yet is Into the Wild. Anyway, it goes from after finding, we're gonna call him Alex because that's probably what they're gonna refer to him as throughout the entire book. Basically, it goes from after finding Alex's body, because that's what you get introduced to. That's like the main thing, is this dude's dead, find out why, find out what happened, blah 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 blah. Anyway, it goes from like after he's dead to before he's dead to finding his body to living with him throughout the years leading up to this thing, and it's jumping back and forth and talking about as he's entering Alaska, because we're going to Alaska, we're going to the national park that he decided he wanted to hike through and live off the land on, basically. And we go from he's being dropped off, heading into this forest on his own, and then we jump back to him going through Colorado, and him coming out of college, and not Colorado, but anyway, him coming out of college and going up to South Dakota and finding work there, and then coming down to California, and then traveling through Arizona and Nevada and going down into Mexico and then back up, and it jumps around, and I think it might start being more chronological, but I'm not sure. And I didn't read this all in one go, so I was even more confused, because it was like, I'm gonna read a snippet here, and I'm gonna read a snippet there, and that didn't work, like, at all. He struggles with, or so far, because this is a story by somebody else after he was dead, hunting in, and it says in the author's note, most of this is true, or what I have seen as factual, because Alex did keep a little journal with him, like a tiny journal, I'm pretty sure, a small journal with him for keeping notes, which he wrote in third person, and was, like, really meticulous about writing exactly what had happened unbiasedly, like, without his emotional preface, I think, is what it is, like, without basically having an opinion on it, just telling you exactly what happened and how it happened. And so, yeah, that's basically, he's taking that journal and taking the interviews that he's done from other people and that Alex interacted with leading up to going into this trek that he does alone. But he also does a warning, like, some things are made up. And I'm sure I won't know the difference, and that's part of the problem that I find with this book, is not knowing the difference between what is fact and what is fiction, and that kind of bothers me. But other than that, I think I'll probably enjoy this book if I can understand what's happening in chronological order. And yeah. Interview one person from the novel. I don't know what that means. We can focus in on... who do we want to focus in on? I made little notes on each chapter about characters and who we got introduced to right then. In chapter one, we were introduced to... I'm gonna say his name wrong. It's like Scottish. Just kidding. We were introduced to Alex/Chris. And we were introduced to Galleon, which is the dude who... I think might have been the last person to see him alive. Because he dropped him off right on the edge of the national park that he was going into. And then he drove out and headed to where he was working for those couple weeks. So I think he was the last one to see him alive. And Galleon tried to convince him to not do it because he knew what the weather conditions were like, and he knew the terrain, and he knew that people had died there before, because they had. And he, like, questioned him and was, like, trying to get his motives and why he was doing this and all this other stuff, and got to know him. And basically, you get to understand that Alex was not going to be, like, deterred from this idea in his head that he needed to do this. Which he got from his little buddy up in South Dakota after running away from his family after graduating from college, Wayne Westerberg, I think, is, like, one of his greatest influences. After he meets this dude, he starts saying he's from South Dakota, even though he's from Virginia. He starts saying he's from South Dakota, and that's where his home is. And this guy, who basically just gave him a job and, like, treated him like family, was his family. And, like, that's the person he had the strongest emotional connection to, I think, like, ever in his life or something like that. But Wayne helps him out, ends up going to jail because he is, like, a tinkerer. He likes to do things, he likes to have a lot of different hobbies, and one of the things was, like, I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was something technology-based that got the FBI involved, and... I think it's funny that somebody up just in South Dakota, just having a hobby, was able to do something that the FBI considered awful, or enough to make him go to prison. And I think he gets a deal and only has to go in for like 6 months or something like that. It's a lot less than what it was supposed to be. I know that. But he ends up going to jail. Alex loses his job that he had there with Wayne and went to California after that. There's so many different places in here. It's like I need to work on my geography skills to understand how he's actually traveling. But anyway, after meeting Wayne, which is in the third chapter, in chapter 3, it goes into, I don't remember what chapter 4 was about. Honestly, I think it was about him about to head up to Alaska again. He hadn't been to Alaska, but he'd been up to Oregon, and then he traveled back down California into Arizona and Nevada, and then got a canoe and basically went into Mexico and trying to go back up. It's a big jumbled mess. And chapter 2, you meet the people who found his body, which are Ken Thompson, Gordon Samuel, Freddie Swanson, and Butch Killian. Butch Killian basically just called in the cops afterwards and was like, yo, can you come pick this body up? I think it's been here a while. And they didn't get to do that till the next morning, which I didn't understand. But yeah, there's also a young couple that was there, but they never get a name. They never get named at all. They also found, they were the first ones to find the body, but they didn't actually look at the body because they were too scared by the implications that led up to finding the body and blah, 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 blah. It's a big thing. It's a big deal. And yeah, I hope I interviewed Galleon a little bit better, or did whatever I was supposed to do with that. The main character, oh, that's easy because it talks about it in literally every chapter. Alex's American dream is basically to be free. Be free from the economy, be free from people's expectations of him, be free from anyone's limitations or society's limitations and society's ideas and interventions and literally anything that has anything to do with civilization as we know it, he wants to be away from. And he wants to live off the land. And he wants to find himself through living off the land and going through hardships and just dealing with going through life, not knowing what's going to happen next, and just knowing I need to do this so I can do this, or like I need to identify this plant to see if I can eat it, to see if I can have a meal and then live for the next day. And that is basically his American dream, because I mean, it says in one of these chapters he didn't feel comfortable in society anymore. Like, he came back to California after going down to Mexico and had to find a job before he headed up to Alaska. Well, he found a job and he didn't feel comfortable around people and being as social as he was after being out in canals going through all these different rivers and canals and all these different things alone for like 2 years, like 1992, almost 1992. He's just going through all these things alone, and he didn't feel comfortable being near people and being social and being within society anymore. And I think that was his ideal thing. He liked the freedom that it was to not have to depend on anybody but himself, and to not have to stick up or be the person somebody else looks upon. He just wanted to worry about himself, basically. And that's his American dream, and I'm sure he got that. I mean, he definitely did. He definitely did that. Start to find the main character's American dream. Did that. Thoughts and or questions you have about the novel? I like it. It goes really into detail about, like, hunting and, like, the cars they had, which is great if you know anything about cars, so you can picture it in your head, but I don't know. But it was, like, it had an 8,000-pound... Jesus Christ, it wasn't 8,000. It had to have been. Yeah, it was. It was 8,000. It was, like, the bumper on some truck, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, that is heavy. But I also know that is how you're going to get through, like, any type of mud or snow or anything that has a current in it in Alaska, which I know also has very varied weather patterns, like, throughout the year. And they're known for, like, mudslides and flash flooding and all those different good things. And I guess if you're an outdoorsy person and you go hunting and you know those things, it's great. And you can understand them, but if you don't, you just kind of, like, read it, and you're like, okay, that's information I didn't really need. There's also the timeline so far. It's jumping back and forth, and I'm kind of confused. And I made different notes and questions along the way. It was like, there are a bunch of just random thoughts that I had while reading it. It was like, he changed his name. Originally, he changed his name to Alexander Supertramp. And I thought that sounded like a stage name. It says, this is chapter 3. Like, the last sentence is, no longer would he answer to Chris McCadless. He was now Alexander Supertramp, master of his own destiny. Well, that sounds like a stage name. Like, you're trying to be someone you're not. Or, like, you're trying to find someone. You don't need to do that. Like, you don't need to change your name to something like that to get to this place that you're trying to find. Like, you can do that with your same name, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. It was like, what I didn't understand. But I also don't think much about names. There's also another point in it where he's like, he's burning $123, which I understand freedom, and he talks about in his journal that he keeps about the freedom, and he tells people, oh my god, it felt so great to burn this money and not be dependent on it and not have to worry about anything that is gonna happen to it or to me because of it. And I'm like, what? He left his truck, he left a rifle, he left so many other things before he went on his little canoe trip down into Mexico. And I was like, why? Oh, the certain things that he left there was like a 25-pound bag of rice. Okay, why did you do that? Because you could have used it, and I know it's 25 pounds, that's kind of a lot to carry on your back, but like, food? Like, I don't know, maybe we should keep that. It also said in the author's note, which is really helpful if you're gonna read this, you should probably read the author's note, because it says there are, like, small mistakes that he made that if he hadn't made it, he would have walked out of there and been fine. And as I'm trying to read through this and being confused and not knowing the timeline and when this happens and not being good with dates, one of his things was he came out delirious because he was walking through a national forest that is known for having, like, huge heat surges in the middle of, like, summer or early spring. And he was walking through it because he didn't know, and he ended up with heat stroke. And I'm like, you would think that might be, like, something you look at before you go do it. But I understand, because he's, like, trying to be free and without technology and all this other stuff. He also didn't have a phone, like, in college to, like, contact his parents or anyone else. He didn't have one of those. He didn't have a phone at his house or his apartment. He didn't have a phone on him, like, ever. I was like, that's insane compared to now, just to think about. I know this is the 90s, so it's, like, okay. But that's not that long ago. That's only 20 years ago. Or, sorry, 30 years ago now, because it is 2020, and my dogs are fighting upstairs. Anyway, it's 2020, so that's 30 years ago, and it's like, it's just weird to think about how you can just go on road trips like this. You could go from Virginia to California and back without anyone knowing where you are, and you can just, you can hitchhike and not have to worry about being abducted. I mean, I guess you do, but, like, not as much as you do now. And that's something that I thought was really cool and kind of jealous of. honestly, like, I'd wish I could just pick up one weekend and just go. And that was one of his things. It was like, I feel that I could relate to in this book with talking about his college experience. Not really his college experience, but like right before he left on this big journey of his. It was like how he was acting. And it just sounded to me like he just wanted to, he wanted something different. Something completely not controlled by his parents. He didn't want to have anyone's opinion or influence into what he was choosing to do and what he was doing. I was like, I get that, and I can relate to that. But there's also, like, some preparation that we have to do. Maybe. But again, wasn't born in the 90s, I don't know, didn't grow up in the 80s like he did, and have that much freedom to just do whatever. So yeah, that is the first four chapters of Into the Wild. I'm excited to read the rest of it. Kind of also dreading reading the rest of it because I don't want to have to pay so much attention to the timeline as I did in the first four chapters, but I feel like I'm going to. Like, I'm going to have to. I don't want to do that, so I'm dreading it. But I think it'll be fun to see what he went through. Even though I know that's partially going to be the fiction part, because you can't know. Because you weren't there, and that was the whole point. He was alone and had to depend on himself. And, yeah. So, that's also a part I'm dreading, is like not knowing which part is real and which part is fake. Or made up, or assumed. Yeah. Anyway, that is your 22 minutes of me talking out of my butt because I'm not quite sure what to say on this. Anyway, that's that. See you next time, I guess.